This is the Breaker.News podcast for May 3rd, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin, host of the Breaker.News podcast and publisher of the Breaker.News. I'm at the Vancouver Convention Center for the 76th FIFA Congress, special edition. On April 29th, the day before the FIFA Congress in Vancouver, Vore Urban Labs and Simon Fraser University Vancouver held the FIFA Impacts Conference. The event featured speakers about access to sports, community benefits, and human rights. Two of the speakers were Olympic gold medalists, speed skater Katrina Lemay-Doan and kayaker Adam Van Coverden. Van Coverden is now Canada's Secretary of State for Sport. I asked Van Coverden about the $755 million five-year funding announced April 28th for Canadian sport. Just a month earlier, the Future of Sport in Canada Commission, which examined abuse and corruption in amateur sport in Canada, recommended a new Crown Corporation to oversee sport funding and governance in Canada.
The Future of Sport in Canada Commission is a remarkable step forward, and I want to thank Justice Maisonneuve and her team, but in particular I'd like to thank the courageous victims and survivors that came forward with their testimonies, as well as Canadians from coast to coast to coast that provided their perspectives and insights into making those recommendations. We're proud of the progress we've made so far. And as Justice Maisonneuve pointed out, the recommendations come in three tranches, in immediate and short-term and long-term ambitions. The one that you referenced is a longer-term ambition. We're focused on the immediate and short-term ambitions. Most of them require resources. Most of the 98 recommendations from the Future of Sport in Canada Commission will cost money. So the first step was ensuring that we have the resources to change the sport system, to strengthen the system in Canada, and to build our country with the power and potential of sport. I'm grateful that the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, and the Minister of Finance, François-Philippe Champagne, believe in sport and believe in its nation-building capacity. And that's why we've put such a generational investment on the table for Canadians. $755 million over the next 5 years is a remarkable step forward for sport in this country.
Is there any temporary measure that you can do before the sport entity is set up in order to achieve the goals of making sport safer and stamping out any corruption that there might be?
It's important to appreciate that the immediate recommendations in the Future of Sport in Canada Commission include many of which have been underway for over a year now. The Canadian Safe Sport Policy is mandatory for all national sport organizations. Improved governance standards are already in place. We're making mandatory many of the measures that Justice Maisonneuve recommended. And we're not starting from scratch here. The work on Safe Sport is ongoing, but it started many years ago. We've seen reform at the national sport organization level and improvements in athlete safety, in governance and safe sport practices. And this initiative will also draw in this investment from the federal government, will draw in more support from the private sector, from Canadian philanthropists, and ensure that we're building a stronger, safer sport system for all Canadians going forward.
Now, you're here at the FIFA Impact seminar here in Vancouver, and among the themes that they're talking about is inclusion. And this World Cup will be very inclusive in some ways, that there will be no shortage of places for Canadians to gather across the country and communities big and small to watch in collective fashion on big screens. But one of the dominant stories about this World Cup has been the high ticket prices that a lot of middle class people, even people that could possibly afford it, either can't get the tickets or they're even more expensive for them. Is there anything that the federal government can do on the way in the limited time before the tournament starts to try to find some tickets that are a little more affordable, because it is a once-in-a-lifetime event that perhaps if a father can afford to bring a son or a daughter, or mother can bring a son or a daughter to one of the matches, it could open up a lifetime of inspiration. But again, the availability and the cost.
Well, I appreciate that the strongest legacy that we believe is shared between the two of us, the strongest legacy of these games will be access to sport, the inspiration that it will leave behind, the sort of intangibles of a world-class sporting experience being shared with so many Canadians. And one of the things that the federal government has done is invested in the Celebrate Canada Tour, so that over 35 cities in Canada will have a free opportunity to celebrate the great game. Like you said, watch on a big screen, enjoy food, enjoy music, enjoy that celebration in an outdoor, free of charge environment. There's also fan fests in Vancouver and in Toronto that will provide that same free opportunity for Canadians to experience the World Cup firsthand. I know that electric vibe is going to be very, very exciting for all Canadians, and those free opportunities are important for us. Now, ticket prices are set by FIFA. I'm heartened that recently they've lowered those prices. It doesn't mean that they are affordable for everybody. That's a challenge, certainly. But another thing that we've done is we're working with Canada Soccer to lower the barriers to access to some of those friendly matches, like the upcoming one on June 5th with Ireland. We saw some great soccer against Iceland and Tunisia recently at BMO Field. And there will also be a game against Uzbekistan in Edmonton coming up. Canadian soccer fans who are on the Canada Red system, who are fans of the great game and they've been following Team Canada football for a long time, are in the lottery and in the queue for those affordable tickets. And I hope that as many fans who are ardent fans get to experience the World Cup firsthand. But at the same time, it's being played in 16 cities across an entire continent. With millions and millions and millions of people that are interested across all of those markets. So broadening that and taking the pressure off the obligation to build more new infrastructure, like new stadiums that often get left behind, means spreading it across 16 different markets. And that does make the access to tickets a little bit more difficult. But look, there's other amazing things to look forward to. We've got the Northern Super League. Just starting their season now. The Professional Women's Hockey League is in the playoffs. There's so many great ways for families to get out, to cheer on Canadian athletes, and to enjoy the power and potential of sport and being a great fan. And I encourage Canadians to get behind our teams, particularly local ones.
Premier David Eby recently expressed some concern about the level of federal support, especially for security for the World Cup, and said that there are still talks happening. Where is this from the federal standpoint? Are you talking to the BC government, and will there be any more resources federally or funding to this event, especially here in Vancouver?
I'm glad you asked, Bob. This morning, I was proud to announce an incremental $145 million that we're making available for safety and security during the games in Toronto and in Vancouver. Our top priority as a government is making sure that the FIFA 2026 Men's World Cup is safe and secure and welcoming for all. And we're working closely with our provincial and municipal partners to ensure that the games are just that, safe, secure, and welcoming for all participants and viewers.
What is the federal government getting in exchange for that? Is the federal government getting an allotment of tickets, for instance, or co-branding? When I talked with you recently, that wasn't foreseen. That looked like the funding envelope was closed. But they've come back and are getting more. Maybe they're not fully satisfied, but they never always are.
Well,
we're looking forward. What is the federal government getting in return?
Our country is looking forward to a massive boost in our GDP this summer as a result of hosting 13 matches in the FIFA 2026 Men's World Cup, a more than $3 billion boost to our GDP. All of the jobs, the economic activity, the impact of this games is going to go beyond the finances of the games, but it's a prudent investment because we are expecting to see that large boost in economic activity in our country. Beyond that, the opportunity to host presents all sorts of diplomatic opportunities with corporate international partners for diplomacy, and our government is looking at all the ways that we can ensure that when hosting, we're showcasing what Canada has to offer from a business perspective, from a diplomatic perspective. Sports brings people together like nothing else, and the FIFA 2026 Men's World Cup is no exception.
Is the federal government getting an allotment of tickets or buying tickets for Vancouver and Toronto matches?
Well, members of our government will certainly be in attendance at some games to meet with partners from different countries. I hope to see ministers of sport come over from different countries. I'd like to cheer on Team Canada and do my job as the FIFA Sherpa. I have an equivalent in both Mexico and the United States that I'm in touch with on a regular basis to ensure that we're well aligned in the delivery of this first ever hosted by three nations World Cup. So certainly our federal government will be engaged. I know that Prime Minister Mark Carney is a huge soccer fan. He'll always call it football. But we are excited for the game and go Canada go.
And finally, one more question on the Mexican and U.S. relations as the Sherpa. As you know, of course, we've been in a rocky time the last year and a half with Americans, with the Trump second administration. How has Canada been able to adapt to this in order to successfully host the World Cup in this environment, this fraught environment?
You know, sport has this unique ability to bring people together, not just on a community level, but also in a diplomatic capacity. I was very proud to be down in Washington, D.C. on December 5th, where I saw Presidents Sheinbaum, Trump, and Prime Minister Mark Carney sitting together, having a conversation, having a meeting on a social level, which will provide the foundation for better negotiations. And, you know, as we look to renegotiate the very, very important USMCA or CUSMA deal for our workers, our sectors right across this country, I know that the foundation of those meetings will be their relationships, and sport will only strengthen those.
In the afternoon on April 29th, FIFA Congress delegates and some of the living legends of world soccer gathered at the Whitecaps Training Center at the University of British Columbia, including Brazil's Cafu, Mexico's Jorge Campos, France's David Trezeguet, American Kobe Jones, and Canadian Dwayne De Rosario. FIFA President Gianni Infantino and Vice President Victor Montagliani put on their boots and joined in the tournament. In the final, Canada beat CONMEBOL, the South American Confederation, 2-0.
Canada!
Canadian Soccer Association President Peter Agrusso talked about Canada's Jesse Marsh-coached team, which is scheduled to play 2 opening round matches in Vancouver.
Jesse's well prepared to take this team far. I don't think Jesse's afraid of a challenge, that's for sure. So no, I don't think it's too much pressure for Jesse. He's a very intelligent coach. He's captivated the Canadian psyche. We're lucky to have him as our coach, and we leave all those decisions up to him on the pitch. My job and Kevin's job is to make sure he's got the tools to do his job and let him do his job.
Are you satisfied with the way things are going for the CSA from a business side? The sponsors you've been able to sign up nationally, and the other activities, the cultural activations with the music that's surrounding the team.
Yeah, we're very satisfied with the way things are going. I mean, it's been a rough 2 years, but we've got the ship going in the right direction, and we've got some calm waters finally at the CSA. This year we'll have a budget surplus for a change, which will be a nice change. So we'll have an opportunity to grow the game even further. We've committed to doubling our funding for our national youth teams. So that's how we grow the game across the country, and we excite the young kids to play this game. I was in Langley today for a mini pitch inauguration, one of many that we're going to build across the country, and to see the excitement on the kids' faces was tremendous. It's heartwarming for me.
Well, one of the major international stories about this World Cup has been the ticket pricing and availability. CSA did make some amends with the Voyageurs, for instance, to allow for more supporters' tickets, but there still is the question of ticket availability and the pricing, which may price out certain segments of the market.
Well, that's FIFA decision. That doesn't, you know, FIFA knows how we feel about it, and I keep that in private, but the decision to have the ticket prices is FIFA's its entirety. So Canada Soccer, we have no control of what the ticket prices are. Would I like to see them lower? Absolutely. But that's not a decision for us.
How important do you see, does Canada Soccer see having a successful World Cup in Vancouver and, you know, the stabilization of the Whitecaps, which will go to everything else that you're trying to do?
I think the loss of the Whitecaps, not just for Vancouver, but for the country, would be tremendous. It was catastrophic. I do think that people need to get in the room and get this sorted. Canada Soccer strongly supports Vancouver Whitecaps and their youth academy. So we want to see it grow. We do not want to see this team leave this city or this country. It's been a tremendous asset. So the right people need to be in the right room to solve this problem, and it's solvable.
The future of Major League Soccer in Vancouver hung over the FIFA Congress, where MLS Commissioner Don Garber was one of the guests. A Kentucky billionaire, Grant Gustafson, wants to buy the Whitecaps and move them to Las Vegas. Whitecaps CEO Axel Schuster says the club needs more revenue to be viable in Vancouver. Whitecaps principal owner Greg Kerfoot has not broken his decades-long silence. Andrew Trebaniak was one of the Southsiders who held the Save the Caps rally outside the FIFA Congress on April 30th as delegates arrived at the convention center.
Play for the Whitecaps, the true kings of the north.
Well, we're not trying to play a blame game. We just want the parties to come together and figure out a way to save a club that's been part of the fabric of Vancouver and BC history for over 50 years. It's shameful that it's gotten to this point, and I think a big thing is ownership of the club needs to come out and succinctly say what exactly they need so that we as fans of the team can get galvanized to find those solutions, and you know, the stakeholders can get galvanized to find those solutions. As of now, it's been Axel going before the cameras. Ownership hasn't talked. Jeff Mallett, obviously Greg Kerfoot doesn't do media. That I understand that, but like, where's Jeff Mallett? Where's Steve Nash? Where's Steve Luzzo? So.
Yeah, so it's really, all the parties have a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think like, what we as Southsiders and Whitecaps fans are just, we want our team to stay here, right? Like, we've gone through this. This happened with the Grizzlies. I don't think there was, you know, obviously not as much history, and there wasn't as much groundswell of support when they left. But like, as a city, we have that scar tissue, and it's not happening again. We can't let it happen again. I just appreciate guys like you that are bringing light to this, and hopefully, and you know, like I said, it's I don't want to lay blame, but the parties need to get in a room and find a solution. We can't lose this team. It's too important to me. I still wear my championship ring from when I worked for the club. I spent 4 years of my life in my early 20s putting, I mean, you were there, you saw, you know, like I was just fully devoted to this club, late nights. And I didn't do that because I wanted some billionaires to get a nice return on their investment. I did it because we were building something for soccer culture in this country, and culmination in hosting a World Cup, which, man, I could go into stories about that. I did get a ticket, but I got one ticket and it cost me $1,000. It's insane. Absolutely insane. So.
Yeah, the World Cup's gonna come and go, but people want the Whitecaps to stay.
Yeah, like that, the legacy of the World Cup should be soccer, and we're gonna lose our team? Like, that juxtaposition doesn't make any sense to me, so.
Inside the FIFA Congress, the annual meeting of FIFA's member associations, 6 weeks before the beginning of FIFA World Cup 26 in Canada, US, and Mexico. It was all politics and all business, as President Gianni Infantino and General Secretary Matthias Grafström presided. One member was absent, and another member made news. First, the Islamic Republic of Iran Football Federation's top three officials, one of whom is an ex-commander with the terrorist-listed Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, were denied entry to Canada in Toronto.
So today, Vancouver is definitely the capital of the world, because the entire world convened here in Vancouver. And with this in mind, I would like to pass the floor to FIFA Vice President and CONCACAF President, Mr. Vittorio Montagliani, for his welcome address.
Welcome to Canada. Welcome to the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. And welcome to my home city of Vancouver. Before I begin, I want to take a moment to acknowledge Minister Vancouver and his presence here. Your support for the World Cup this summer and our sport from coast to coast to coast has been unwavering. We're deeply grateful for your belief and passion, and we're honored to have you with us today. I also want to acknowledge the role of my friend, Prime Minister Carney. At a moment when the world is looking for principled leadership, leadership that understands cooperation as a strength, his voice matters. So thank you, Adam. Thank you, Prime Minister. This is a very special moment in my professional journey, and it's not just professional, it's deeply personal. Just a few kilometers from here, in East Vancouver, as a five-year-old boy, I first kicked a football at a club called Grandview Legion. I grew up surrounded by the game here, on local parks, on pitches, in clubhouses, and in the streets. where football meant identity, belonging, and pride. My teammates back then came from across North and Central America, the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, South America, Oceania, and Africa. Yes, all six of our FIFA confederations. Different languages, different cultures, but one game. Those are not distant memories. It is part of me, part of my life's journey. They shaped how I see our sport, not just as something we play or watch, but as something that connects people across cultures, across generations, and across borders. That is why this moment here in my beloved city of Vancouver means so much.
Thank you, President, and welcome to a world tour this year again. And so let's start with Afghanistan, present.
Present. Albania, present. Algeria, present. American Samoa, present.
Islamic Republic of Iran, absent.
Present. Venezuela, present. Vietnam, present. Wales, present. Yemen, present. Zambia, present.
And last but not least, Zimbabwe, present. We have 210 members present.
Of course, Iran will be participating at the FIFA World Cup 2026. And of course, Iran will play in the United States of America. And the reason for that is very simple, dear friends. It's because we have to unite. We have to bring people together. It is my responsibility, it is our responsibility. Football unites the world, FIFA unites the world, you unite the world, we unite the world. And we have to remember always that we have to be positive. We have to be smiling, we have to be happy. There are enough problems around the world. There are enough people who try to divide all over the world. If nobody tries to unite, what will happen to our world? We have to do it, and we have this opportunity. We have it at the FIFA Congress, we have it with the FIFA Series, we have it, of course, with the FIFA World Cup. We have it with the power and the magic of all of you united, because together we are unbeatable. Precisely 6 weeks from today, we kick off with the greatest FIFA World Cup. Well, we will definitely unite the world. You know it, three host countries, Canada, Mexico, United States, 16 incredible host cities, 48 nations participating, and just look at those who did not qualify to understand the quality of those who qualified for this World Cup.
Information, are there any questions from anyone on the finances of FIFA? This is not the case. Then we can go directly to agenda item 8.5.
Infantino tried to play peacemaker when he called Palestinian Football Association President Jibril Rajoub on stage with Israel Football Association Vice President Basim Sheikh Suleiman. Rajoub refused to shake hands with his Israeli counterpart.
I expected him to say that there are two federations and they have the same right. And he is, no, he did not say that.
Say something.
Let me please say something. Let me thank the two representatives from Israel and from Palestine who have the same rights, the same duties, and the same obligations, who are members of FIFA. We will work together, President Rajoub, Vice President Suleiman. Let's work together. Let's work together to give hope to the children. Let's work together for that. We have a beautiful under 15 tournament coming up where we will invite all 211 countries to participate, all the children of the world. Let's do it for that. Please, we work together. You have my commitment. You have the support of the whole room. Shukran jazilan.
Afterward, Palestinian Federation's Jibril Rajoub and the CEO of the Israeli Federation, Yariv Tepper, spoke to reporters.
I just wondered, was it a surprise for you that you were even asked to do that?
We couldn't hear.
Asked to come back on stage and...
No, please. Don't go to the details, okay. You know, go to principles. I think and I believe that the guy who spoke on behalf of Israel is not qualified to be a partner facing the audience who is committed to the principles of FIFA. I can't. Someone who is defending the crimes, the genocide, and ethnically cleansing. This is what I think, and this is what I believe.
Can you confirm that you've already gone to the Court of Arbitration?
If what?
Have you gone to the Court of Arbitration?
We already started this process, and we will not give up. Although that we receive threats, restrictions by the Israelis, but in spite of that, white flag will never be raised. We will continue according to our right as member of this family.
When was your Canadian visa resolved?
What?
When was your Canadian visa resolved to enter Canada? When was it resolved?
You know, I think the Israelis are following me everywhere and trying, you know, even they tried to not to let me leave the country and come here. Okay, but at the end, our people called the foreign minister of this country, and immediately this is not the issue. This is not the issue.
It was a missing of opportunity because our mission is to show the world that we can do it in a different way. And I think where our vice president stood there and the president of FIFA asked for both sides to come to the floor together. And the way I see it, it was a missing of opportunity in order to show something else for the world.
Yeah. You're not concerned about what he said about October 7th?
This is his way of putting his words. Again, we are in FIFA Congress. Our mission is to promote football and better future for the children of all regions, and this is our mission.
The FIFA Congress was held under heavy security. When the World Cup comes to Vancouver, it will be a bigger police operation in downtown Vancouver than the 2010 Winter Olympics. I asked FIFA's Matthias Grafstrom for his thoughts.
Are you satisfied with the security spending and security planning by Canada and Vancouver?
Yes, we have a very good cooperation with the various level of authorities, and we're very happy with the cooperation we have with the Canadian authorities.
You're not worried about any protests happening that could disrupt the World Cup?
No.
In Vancouver especially?
We're not worried, and we're very confident that the cooperation we have with the Canadian authorities will make sure that everything goes smoothly in Vancouver and in Toronto as well.
Thanks again for joining me on the Breaker.News podcast. I'm host Bob Mackin. As always, if you have a news tip, send it to me at bob@thebreaker.news. That's bob@thebreaker.news. And keep coming back to thebreaker.news for news about FIFA World Cup in Vancouver and elsewhere.